Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. As we discuss this game on Sunday night, and my gut's telling me this is not going to be as big of a rout as many believe. The spread, I believe, is now up to 11 points, and many are thinking the Eagles are going to rout this Cowboys team. They are bad, and they are struggling right now. We're going to find out how bad they are, how much they're struggling, and just who is Ben DiNucci. Mike Fisher, he is from down in Dallas, 105 through The Fan, and of course Cowboys, the Sports Illustrated site down there. Check it out. And Mike's all over this game and all over the Cowboys. Let's see what he says about this game, this team, this situation, Sunday Night Football. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Well, first of all, I'm Ben DiNucci. Because he has his Pennsylvania ties, his Pittsburgh ties, and his Italian ties, I'm just shocked that you won't pronounce it the way that I do, which is Ben DiNucci.
You know what? He might be that by the end of Sunday night. We might be screaming that name for years to come. Right, let's start there, Mike. Ben DiNucci and his first career start here. And most of us had no idea who he was until he came in for Andy Dalton last week. He's been getting the reps this week. What are we dealing with? Is this guy a mobile quarterback, big arm? What kind of quarterback is he?
Yeah, the Cowboys, all the way up to the Joneses, like to make the comparison to Tony Romo, which is ridiculous if you think about Romo's body of work. But if you think back to Tony Romo when he was an undrafted rookie free agent out of Eastern Illinois, where he's a little too short, he's a little too slow, and he's a little too this, but he's got a little something, that's Ben DiNucci. He certainly carries himself as someone with some swagger. He did accomplish some things at his level of football, and maybe the biggest thing is he's got sponsors in the building, because Mike McCarthy's brother used to coach him in eighth grade basketball, and Mike McCarthy's best friend his brother used to coach him back in Pittsburgh. And so it's an old Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania thing. But if the Cowboys come out of this and get slaughtered, and they will, but they discover that, hey, we might be in the process of having used a seventh round pick to develop a long-term backup quarterback to Dak Prescott, then maybe 10 years from now we'll look back and see that it was all worth it.
Yeah, that would be a good outcome for the Cowboys. As far as this week, not much is going well or good down there, Mike. I mean, they cut some players. They're coming off of a bad loss and obviously injury to Dalton and Washington last week. I mean, the Eagles aren't very good. The Cowboys seem worse right now. What's the feeling down there? Have things gotten any better over the course of the week, or is it still just doom and gloom about this team in this season?
There's some optimism because the new quarterback in for Andy Dalton, which just lasts a week, that's the plan, who's in for Dak Prescott, who will last the year, and that's the plan. It's fun. He's out here slinging it, as Michael Gallup said the other day about practices. But I don't think there's any pretense about what this game is. On the one hand, the country loves this stuff. This is a record 17th straight primetime game between Eagles and Cowboys. That amazes me when we dug that number up. That national TV, primetime, national game, big deal, Cowboys-Eagles, so it still matters to the country, even though both teams stink. Somebody's still going to win this division by NFL rule. It'll probably be the Eagles. But I do say this about the woe is me, and that's a phrase that Mike McCarthy used with Pam Oliver last weekend, woe is me. attitude that the Cowboys players have. It's real. It's been here for a while. It's not going away. And Philadelphia will probably make it worse.
Interesting. Mike Fisher, 105 through the Fan down in Dallas. Cowboys, Sports Illustrated. Mike, let's talk about Mike McCarthy. You brought him up, the Cowboys' new coach, first-year coach. Already there's rumblings that maybe it will be a very short stint in Dallas. Mike, I got to tell you, I'm surprised. I thought that Mike McCarthy would be an upgrade over Jason Garrett and the team would be better this year. So far, it's been the opposite. What's your thought on McCarthy? How much of this is his fault? How much of it is stuff around him, injuries that he has no control over? How much of this is on McCarthy?
Well, you can speak to the Eagles' injuries because haven't they had them? And when they won a Super Bowl, didn't they have them?
Yes, tons.
And so I'm not an injury excuse guy. You know, people are around here making it sound like Dak Prescott has missed 7 games. He's missed 2. The Cowboys were terrible way before Dak Prescott got hurt. They were terrible whether Tyron Smith played or not. So I don't think that excuses in pro football are that injuries are a very good excuse. In the case of Mike McCarthy, I'm getting accused here of being too hard on him because people know that I had a nice relationship with Jason Garrett, who I've known for 25 years. But I keep pointing out, I went on national TV on NFL Network last year on December 5th in Chicago before the Cowboys got crushed by the Bears, and called for the firing of Jason Garrett and predicted the firing of Jason Garrett because even if you like a guy, it's time. In the case of Mike McCarthy, I nobody knows him yet, so we don't get to like him yet. But what he's done here is verify my longstanding view that outside of John Wooden and Bill Belichick, there's no magic wands here. Old Doug, your coach, he's not smarter than – is Doug better than Andy Reid?
No.
Then why'd you fire Andy Reid?
Yeah, well, because it was time. It was that.
Because it was time. Yeah, yep. And you know what's going to happen in 1 year or 2 years, 5 years? You're going to fire Doug and hire Andy Reid again.
Because it'll be time.
Because it'll be time. So is Mike McCarthy better, bigger, smarter? No. It was just time. And the one-and-done thing is not the Joneses' way, even Chan Gailey, who nobody in the locker room liked. Chan Gailey from, I guess we're going back a couple decades now. But even he got a little bit of rope. The Cowboys have only fired one guy in season, Wade Phillips. And so they want to make this work. And Jerry has reiterated numerous times on our radio station, 105 through the Fan, that McCarthy's my guy. And that's okay. But the biggest mistake he made, and I wish he'd admit it, because it is a monster. They tried to install a new defense, complete new philosophy, without ever having met the players face-to-face and without ever having had a training camp, a real training camp. That's never been done before in football, and it'll never be done again, partly because hopefully COVID never does to us what it's done, but also because no other coach would be stupid enough, arrogant enough, to think, I'm going to put in a new system and do it all on Zoom. That's, if you think about it on its face, it's absolutely preposterous.
Yeah, and it's played out that way because their defense has been one of the worst, if not the worst, in the NFL. So, Mike, you mentioned that defense and the scheme and trying to put it in a pandemic offseason. It feels like it has to get better, right? Like, down the stretch of the season, they can't be this bad. I mean, I look at their defense and the players they have out there, the names. They should be better than this. Do you think they will be? And do we start questioning effort now? I mean, I find it hard to believe a defense that has players like Lawrence and some of the guys they have at linebacker and even Aldon Smith coming back. And you know, he used to be a great player. But, like, it seems like they have too much there to be the worst defense in the league.
To lose Byron Jones, who was very good here, the cornerback, in free agency, and to go from being mediocre on defense, which is what they were last year, to, as you say, statistically the worst defense in Cowboys history. I mean, they are breaking records, especially like consecutive game records. Being behind by 20 points in 5 consecutive—these things are never done before. No team falls behind by 20 points every game. Their negative point differential, I think, is 58. And that would be the worst in the league, if not for the Jets, which I believe theirs is 118. But in many ways, and Cowboy fans are having a tough time accepting this, but the Cowboys are the Jets. Go back and look at not just this year's failings, but I think if you look at, again, this year's 7 games, and then go back 10 games last year, I bet you the Cowboys' record in the last 20 games And the Jets' record in the last 20 games is the same. And these teams played each other 20 games ago, and guess who won?
The Jets.
Not the Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that game. Yeah, it's a good point. And I think until people realize that they're not that much different. Mike Fisher, 105 Through the Fan, joining us here talking Eagles, Cowboys. All right, Mike, let's talk about Zeke. Because if I think of one path for the Cowboys to keep this a game or make it a game on Sunday, it would be protecting the young quarterback and maybe getting the best game they've gotten all year out of Zeke, who has not played well. I mean, the fumbles are off the charts bad, and it just seems like he's a step slower. It's not the same Zeke, but I will say, Mike, my mind reminds me and my memory tells me he's had a lot of good games against the Eagles. What's going on with Zeke?
Yeah, so the production, there's different levels of this. The production, we can argue, is bad because the offensive line has been decimated. Now, Zach Martin's coming back this week, so that'll help at right guard, future Hall of Famer. But for the last game and a half, they've played with an offensive line with an average age of 22 and a total experience of 4 years. Well, that'd be a really good senior offensive line at, like, Georgia. If you had 5 22-year-olds that were all seniors, hey, that's pretty good offensive line, but not in the NFL. So that's part of the Zeke story. But the fumbles thing is atrocious, and he's not a fumbler. Going back to when he was 7 years old, and at Ohio State, and in most of his career here. So that speaks to the accidental, lackadaisical approach that's being taken here. There has been an erosion of intensity, and it's not on purpose. It's subconscious. Nobody's not trying on purpose. As I keep arguing here, when somebody says, "What do you mean they're not trying? Well, prove it." Well, I could prove it when the coach says every week, McCarthy has said this, "Man, we had our best week of practice." And then you go out and lose 38 to nothing. That's impossible. There's a disconnect. Somebody's lying. Because I'm seeing Daryl Worley, since cut, be a guesser and be wrong all the time. I'm seeing Don Terry Poe, since cut, 350-pound man who gets turned sideways on every play. So you're telling me that Don Terry Poe played well in practice against Zach Martin, then somehow lost it on Sunday? That Daryl Worley was an all-pro on Thursdays covering CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, and then lost it on Sundays? Baloney. This team practices poorly, and then it plays poorly. And that's the story in Dallas.
Yeah, it's ugly right now. We'll see it Sunday night. Last one for you, Mike. What is the feeling of the Cowboy fan this week? Because here, we're debating whether or not the Eagles are even good enough to blow the Cowboys out, whether they're good enough to take advantage of a bad team and get an easy win. My feeling is they're not. The Eagles have been pretty poor this year, and their three most impressive days are a tie against the Bengals, a win against Nick Mullins, and they were down 2 scores to the Giants before a comeback last week. I don't think the Eagles are very good or good, and I think they could allow this to be a competitive game. What's the Cowboy fan feeling about what's going to happen here Sunday?
Yeah, my prediction is 20-10 Eagles, so I think you and I are on the same page there. You know, that's a relative blowout, but that's just one bad team spanking another. I think Cowboy fans are grappling with this. This is the perfect storm, or the imperfect storm, where these teams are both contenders and train wrecks. So fans that want to watch contenders, good. You get to watch two of them on Sunday night. Fans that want to see two train wrecks, triple Clyde, good. You get to see that too on Sunday night.
Yeah, it is a perfect storm. We'll be watching Sunday night, Eagles and the Cowboys. Mike, I always appreciate you hopping on. Have a great weekend, and we'll be reading and listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
There he goes, Mike Fisher down in Dallas. That was a perfect way to put it. These teams are both contenders and train wrecks. Doesn't that sum up the NFC East? One of these teams has to win the division. Yet they're both, they're train wrecks of football teams. Interesting stuff there by Mike. 215-592-9494 in terms of the Cowboys situation down there. DiNucci, I didn't know that. All the connections to the McCarthy stuff, like his brother coached him in high school or, you know, grade school, whatever that was. Like that's a weird thing. You know what I took from that phone call? I took from that phone call that this is not going to – like, I don't think the Cowboys are coming in here and rolling over. I feel like once you have a week where you quit you perceive to have quit, everyone's saying that, I think the next week is a better effort. I don't know what the final score will be on Sunday, but I'm going to be surprised if the Cowboys lay down in the first quarter. We had a caller earlier who said Eagles get up 7-0 or whatever, 14-0, and the Cowboys lay down. I don't see that. They cut two players this week. I heard Ike this earlier today or the other day when I was driving in say it. That wakes the locker room up. They cut Worley and Poe?
Yeah, Dontari Poe. And Daryl Worley, former Eagle.
Is he the one that fell asleep in his car?
Yeah, they traded. He was with the Raiders. They traded for him about 2 weeks later. He fell asleep in his car and was cut.
They traded for him. Yes, he fell asleep, like here in Philadelphia, right?
So, yeah, actually, he was with the Panthers.
Torrey Smith,
and then he ended up with the Raiders.
They traded Torrey Smith for him.
Yes,
and he ended up in So he got cut this week. Dontari Poe, who used to be a good player, got cut this week. I just think that kind of stuff it will wake a team up. Like if you, I'd probably wake up guys that are. I mean, Dontari Poe's a vet. Like that's not just like a seventh round pick or just like a, you know, a guy off the street player. Dontari Poe's been a real NFL player for a long time. You start cutting people, and I think it wakes the locker room up. So we'll see what kind of intensity they come out with. But I'd be surprised if the Eagles get a Dallas team uninterested in this game. I'd be surprised. I think they're coming here to try. Now, if they stink and they're just that bad and DiNucci just can't play, great. Then the Eagles will find a way in a route. But, you know, we'll see on that. As far as the Ezekiel Elliott thing goes, I am tired of watching Zeke run down the Eagles' throat. It is amazing. I don't have his numbers in front of me for a career against the Eagles, but I'd imagine, Tucker will look him up. I'm going to try to guess him right now. Ezekiel Elliott against the Eagles has played how many games, are we thinking? He missed one. I think he missed one when he was suspended in 2017, second half of that season.
My guess would be six. I feel like he's missed one more.
Maybe he sat the first year. He probably didn't play in week 17. Let's say he's played six games.
He has played six games.
Okay, six games against the Eagles. I would say he's probably averaged in those games, I don't know, 120 yards rushing? Am I close?
Not quite. So, six games, the Cowboys are 5-1.
Okay, 5-1 with him.
131 carries for 621 yards, averaging 4.74 yards per carry. Two touchdowns per game. He's averaging 22 carries for 104 yards.
104 yards per game. And they're 5-1 with him against the Eagles?
He's averaging 46 receiving yards per game, too. So almost 150 yards from scrimmage per game against the Eagles.
That's a lot. I mean, this dates back to their rookie year, the Dak Wentz, Zeke rookie year, 2016. Remember the first game they played against each other? I feel like if you were listening to a Dallas show, don't you think they would have that game on one of their favorite Eagle Cowboy memories? Like if it was the reverse, because we're talking tonight about your favorite Eagle Cowboy memories over the years. Don't you feel like that game, the first Dak Wentz game, wasn't it a Cowboy overtime win? What did Doug do? That was the first time Doug got really criticized here in Philadelphia. It was like Halloween-ish, right around this time of year, 2016. Dak threw a touchdown pass in overtime to win the game, but the Eagles were up late. Or like they had a chance to win late. Something happened. I think they threw the ball behind the line of scrimmage to Sproles, and they got knocked out of field goal territory.
Yeah, the Eagles were up 20-10.
20-10.
Midway through the third quarter, okay. They're up 23-13 going into the fourth.
And they lost in overtime.
And then gave up. Yeah, Dan Bailey field goal, Des Bryant 22-yard pass with 3 minutes to go, and then Witten scored a touchdown in overtime.
I remember that week. It was a lot. That was the first time Doug got serious criticism in Philadelphia that week. But that game, my memory of it is Zeke played well. Zeke was kind of the bell cow. What did he do in that game?
No, I'm sorry. That was from the. I'm trying to look at what they did.
Yeah. But they won. I mean, they're five and one with.
Yeah.
Zeke.
So here you go. Carson Wentz pass complete short right to Darren Sproles for -6 yards. That pushed him from the 30 to the 36. Ended up punting.
It was like was it a screen pass? As much as it was a swing pass. It felt like. And it just didn't work. I mean, the Cowboys blew it up, and that was a bad loss because that was the Eagles team that started 3-0. Carson as a rookie. They lost in Detroit after the bye, ironically with Darius Slay making the interception of Carson, his first career interception. And then what happened after that? It was Detroit loss, Washington
loss.
Yeah,
Ryan Matthews fumbled.
Yes, and then they go to Washington and lose. The first time we had to try to pronounce Vitae's name because Lane Johnson had his suspension had begun.
Correct.
Then the Dallas loss, or was there maybe a game in between there?
It was Detroit, Washington, then they beat Minnesota. Remember when Sam Bradford came in?
Yes.
And they had four straight possessions and turnovers?
Right, which that set up a pretty big game in Dallas, right? So they start 3-0, they lose two straight, win one against Minnesota.
Yeah, they're 4-2 heading into that Dallas game.
And Dallas went 13-3, so they had to have a good record. I don't know what they were, 6-1, 5-2. They had to have a good record, 4-whatever. They had to be pretty good going that game. That was a big Sunday night game, if I remember right, because it was like Dak and Wentz, the two rookie quarterbacks, they're both off to good starts. And from there, Dallas just flew and the Eagles fell. That was that season.
Yeah, I mean, they won one more games. That was on tonight, October 30th, 5 years ago tonight. And they won one game between now and Christmas.
Yeah, they beat the Falcons with Matt Ryan.
The undefeated Falcons.
They had good
right?
wins that year. Yeah, Doug and Carson's rookie year, they had sneaky good wins.
The Steelers win, the Vikings win, and the Falcons win are all three wins better than most teams could probably put
and
up.
And the Giants win week 16. That was the 11-5 playoff Giants.
Right.
The last time the Giants were any good. Yeah, they actually won four games that year that were good. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. All right, you know what we're going to do on the other side? We're going to do what has to be done. Today, Andy McPhail spoke. If you missed it, which you probably did, we have put together the lows of the lows. We're going to play some of the best, but what I mean by that is the worst, Andy McPhail lowlights of today's press conference as the Phillies team president met with the media. He did not retire, folks. He's not going anywhere unless he's asked to leave. He's got one more year left on his deal. Are the Phillies planning to actually hire a GM? What is going on here with free agency and a guy like JT Realmuto? How bad, in our minds versus theirs, is the farm system? And he even takes a shot, I think a fair shot, at the owner, John Middleton. The best of the worst, or the worst of the best, I could say, of Andy McPhail's press conference. That is up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And no one does football like FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. And if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, then here's something you won't want to miss. Right now, new users can get exclusive plus 2,500 odds boost on either team in this week's divisional rivalry, Dallas and Philadelphia. You heard that right. You can bet $5 to win $125 on either team. Even though I do not feel good about this line and this spread, I will take. With these odds and this boost, I'll take Philadelphia to find a way to finish off Dallas on Sunday night. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, incredible odds are just the beginning. They've got simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, it's time to get off the sidelines and bet. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and use promo code Giglio to make your first deposit and claim your exclusive plus 2,500 odds boost on either Dallas or Philadelphia to win. That's promo code GIGLIO. FanDuel Sportsbook, more ways to win. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.